This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests y'all.
And if you are a Patreon supporter at any level, you can watch us record this show live, like people are over there, and Paul is right there. And
it's of got course, an email.
Oh, really?
That's
lovely. That's lovely. Nice reminder you should watch it.
Who's that ugly bloke in the middle?
I'm not too sure. We'll get to that in a minute. But until then, if you want to show the love of the pop culture is on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy this. You can buy this.
You can't buy Collingwood jerseys. From the Geelong Football Club.
So you can buy shirts and mugs. And I bought a phone case, actually, in the last sale.
I bought show how much I know about football, because I said you can't buy Collingwood jerseys.
And of course, we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can like and subscribe and all those sort of things. And as we did mention, there is a third face in the room here. If you're listening to the audio, there is a third voice. And it's Paul James from player2.net.au. How are you, sir?
I'm back. It's good to be back.
Fourth or fifth, I don't know.
I'm just going to keep pulling away from Jono Peck.
Yeah, all I know is it was already
on my level, man.
It was already one more than Jono. Yeah. Now it's two more than Jono.
So whatever he's done, we'll just add two to that. I did see when you kind of sent the message out to everyone saying, hey, he's going to be on there for the fourth or fifth time. I'm starting to scroll through, counting how many times I have or haven't been on the show.
Yeah.
Couldn't work it out, though.
Well, yeah, look, you are our longest recurring guest by far.
Yeah.
By far.
Again, Jono, get on my level.
It's one or two more than the next, but percentage-wise, yeah.
As a maths teacher, though, that's a big percentage. Yeah,
yeah. Statistics is very, very important. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because then there's Jono, which is the next, and then Dave did a couple.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep.
top three.
Top three, only three.
I'm third best, third last, whatever.
How you been, man, since you were last on here? It's been a good couple months.
Going well, but I'm in baby mode now. We're 6 weeks away. I probably arguably shouldn't be leaving my wife right now, but hey, here I am.
Right. 6 weeks is all right.
Yeah, 6 weeks, you're fine.
Yeah, six hours.
Six hours. Yeah. The clock's ticking. Gotta run.
She's due like right bang in the middle of all the games in the world.
and the AFL, it's a little too close to the big one, and then the games that come out as well.
And the grand final.
No, for him, that's incredibly important.
That's incredibly important.
For us, but for me, it's a public holiday.
Having said that,
it's a good excuse. You've obviously got time off. Yeah, I'll get 2 weeks of paternity leave.
Yeah, and you know, initially they sleep for like 23 fucking hours a day.
So you've got paternity leave well spent.
Plenty of game time coming up there.
So what is your plan of attack for your paternity leave? What are you going to play?
It's still in a weird spot in the middle there, where so your Spider-Man's, Tomb Raider's, Dragon Quest already out about a month before the supposed due date. Who knows? Maybe baby will come early or whatever. But then still about 3-4 weeks before Red Dead comes out. So I'm in this weird middle ground. I think Assassin's Creed comes out that week, so I might play that. But otherwise, I don't really know.
What?
Assassin's Creed.
it came in off frame.
I can't really think of too much else as far as things I might play on PlayStation. But
like, don't hold it down, because my full plan for six months I knew my son was coming. My intention was, all right, he's going to be born around late November, early December, South Park.
South Park,
fractured but whole. Yeah. That was my plan. And they're like, oh, yes, died. Mm. Like, you son's bitch.
You still played it?
I didn't finish it then. No, and then I came back. Mm. There is a game that I did play recently around from when he was born. I'll jump in right now. So the last time do you guys ever tell you the story about how, like, when James was born? Not the graphic details.
I mean, the legs.
Most of us have an idea, and there's the baby, but...
Baby ensued.
Like crowning, and, you know.
No, so essentially what happened is my wife's like, oh, I'm gonna go to bed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep playing Rise of the Tomb Raider, apparently. And then I came to bed, like, 4 or 5 hours later. She's like...
That's my baby.
She's like, my, like... my machine hurts. I'm like, your machine? She's like, yeah, it hurts. I'm like, you know, you're about like a day away from having a baby. You're probably having a baby. She's like, how long's it been hurting for? I'm like, oh, she's like, about 6 or so hours. I'm like, wait, hang on. It was hurting before you went to bed and you just let me play Tomb Raider for 6 hours? She's like, yeah.
Commitment to the game.
She's like, I didn't want
it was you and Lara time.
I'm like, what the fuck?
She was letting you enjoy like literally the last hours of not being a parent.
Yeah, pretty much. Very in hindsight, very nice.
At the time you're going, like, you're crazy.
At the time, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, so this week I went back and played Rise of Tomb Raider. Up to the save, and it was literally,
Moment I found out that the baby was coming.
Yeah, November 2016. He was born.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider could be part of what I'm playing in that period, because there are those three, Spider-Man, Dragon Quest, and Tomb Raider. They're all coming out in that same window, and you're not going to be able to play all three.
Oh, hell no. It's like they're a week apart. You can't finish those
unless
games.
PlayStation wants to help that party out. Come on, guys.
I only want one of those games. So
Spooderman.
Spooder?
I'm not even that keen for it. I feel like I should play it, and I know I'll enjoy it.
But yeah. Anyway, what else have I been playing this week? I have been playing... I've got credits on Guacamelee.
Ooh, the original.
Got those credits on stream, which was lovely. And then I jumped straight into Guacamelee 2, and then it's literally the same. So far.
Bit more,
but you're happy with that?
Yes. I think it'd be better if it was the same, not when you'd finished the other one 3 minutes before you started the second one.
See, many people have waited like 5 years. When Guacamelee came out, like 2013, 14. So people have been waiting 5 years without it. But you've gone, da-da.
Like, yeah, if I had that 5 years apart, I'd be like, this is exactly what... Like, I loved Guacamelee. Like, it was good. There was some good anger in there. There was some good platforming.
Apparently, the second one towards the end, the platforming gets fucking insane.
Yeah, I've heard it's really tough.
Ridiculously hard.
The message I kind of got is the combat is...
Combat
fine.
On normal is
like it's
all
right,
fine, yeah.
But it's the platforming just breaks your soul at the end. Well, and there was aspects of that even in the first one.
Exactly. Like, that's what happened to me towards the end. I mentioned in last week's episode, I'd get to a point and I would just try this platforming and I couldn't get it. I'd rage out and I'd come to the next day and I'd clear it. And then I'd get to the next room, rage out, leave it for a day, and then come back.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I just couldn't get... Like, platforming's never been my strong suit. The combat is schmick, and the combat is the same in the second. Like the first game was all about this evil dude Kalaka wanting to unite the worlds, the living and the dead.
Yeah.
In this one, there is a break in the Mexiverse, the space time continuum of the Mexican universe. And you go through a portal that takes you through we need to take you to this other timeline in the Mexiverse, and to get you there, it takes you through a world that looks like Limbo.
Yeah.
You know, like the black mark.
Just as you disappear, you see the spider leg flying through.
And then Retro City Rampage. And there's a bunch of like little nods. Cause, like the humor in the game is pretty on point. But then in this one, it's already a little funnier, which I like a lot.
Something I've already noticed, and I've only put maybe an hour and a half into Guacamelee 2 so far. The first game was very memey. It was like focusing on then current memes, which didn't necessarily age as well. Whereas what we're getting now is just references to other games, which... as a gamer, you can kind of pick up and appreciate, and they hold their value. Like, you're talking about, you know, River City Rampage and all those. Like, they're old games.
It's like watching the first season of Family Guy, all their, you know, meta pop culture references, and you're just thinking, that did not age well at all.
And that was kind of the issue with the first Guacamelee.
Because, there were a lot of, like, meme-y things and sort of internet, like a lot of derps and stuff, which I never really found funny to begin with, so I'm like, oh, I can find it funny here. I'm looking forward to kicking through it, because right now it is just killing time until Spooderman, which does come out in about a week and a half at this point, but just shy of 2 weeks.
Get hyped.
Embargo drops 3 days before.
Yeah, so hopefully our codes should be arriving this week.
You say our codes with a plural.
As in Paul and
ours. Yeah, we're hoping that we...
Paul and ours.
Yeah, we have to share.
Better put it on the pop scene.
Well, I mean, it may not go to me.
Yeah, because you can play it under your own account anyway.
I'm part of a big team, so I may not get it.
I get all them trophies.
But I've already got ideas for how I present the review if I do. I've got some different approaches in play.
I just want these fucking games so we have something to talk about.
We could talk about $500 million controllers. That's 500 million console controllers.
So that didn't cost $500 million as the scalpers would leave.
So this is the $500 million $500 million, fuck you, John.
Yeah, I know. I stuffed up in the first place.
Worldwide units sold a translucent blue controller. We'll get them unboxing up close. Look at that, beautiful.
I should have left it in the box knowing that I was coming here. Look, Josh. The stick moves. Oh. Don't touch it that
you're
way.
Gentle, Josh.
I've touched it in ways that you'll never do.
So, assuming you didn't pick up the controller, you just got the console.
I've already got a Pro. The Pro's going well. Couldn't really justify getting another Pro, even though our original PS4 is... Well, yeah, I did have the opportunity to pre-order. I did see it still there when I went to go pre-order this.
Jess in the chat from the Patreon exclusive live stream...
Schmick.
...does say the controller looks schmick. It does look schmick. It looks real schmick.
Oh, we'll keep it there.
Are you glad you purchased it?
I actually have a news article in regards to...
Ooh, but we'll come back.
It's so smooth to touch. Like, it's the texturing's different on the...
Just like Josh. What have you been playing, Josh?
Nothing.
Nothing?
He's pretty smooth.
Like, literally nothing.
What have you been doing the last week, then?
I got two assignments due for uni.
Good boy.
Studying for a test.
Good boy.
For uni. Working.
For uni.
For uni. Yeah. I've just... Between Dead Cells and Rocket League, whenever I get a spare hour or so, but nothing.
Have you finished the Dead Souls campaign yet?
No. I can get to the last boss pretty easy. I can't beat him, though. It gets maddening.
I've heard that a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's still fucking good. I just haven't had a lot of time this week.
Mm.
I did buy a new guitar last night. Yeah, I did. And
insert a little guitar solo over the top.
I've never had a guitar worth this much, ever.
Do you mind me asking how many dollar dues was it?
$500 million.
Retails at $1,300. I got it for $1,000.
Nice. Is this the one that you were talking about last week? The one you wanted, or is it equivalent?
Different.
Okay.
I decided against that one.
Why is that?
It had a Floyd Rose bridge,
mm-hmm.
which I don't want.
Okay.
It makes Floyd Rose. Here's a guitar lesson for you. Floyd Rose bridges are super, super good at holding your fucking tuning. Like, that thing will not go out of tune.
Yeah.
But to change your tuning, it's a real big fuck around.
Yeah.
And I change my tuning every time I play when I'm playing something.
Yeah, because it would be great for someone that was like a performer that had like four guitars.
Yeah. And if you had four, that's stuck in that tune. That's stuck in that tune for that song.
Yeah. Like, that's my drop D. That's my whatever. Yeah.
I don't have any yet. So I opted against that, which saved me a couple of dollars as well.
Nice. Did he have all the good? Because I know you and Joel, we're getting a bit meta here. Joel and is from Anna Game is also a big guitar player. And you guys talking about the pickups and being good for metal and stuff. Did you get the same kit?
No, I got the pickups are very, very good on it, but they're not EMGs, which are like the metal pickups. I don't just play metal; I play a lot of different things as well. So I've got a really good, well-rounded guitar.
Yeah,
And it's kind of amazing going from my $300 one that I had to playing this. It's fucking incredible. Like, I thought, like, when I was playing, I'm like, yeah, you know, there's a bit of feedback and I'm not too good at, like, hitting the notes. No, that's a guitar. I played the same song on this new one and I'm like, I am a fucking god.
It just sounds clearer and better.
I am the guitar hero.
But, yeah, because the pickups are such a good quality that they manage to filter out all, like, your string rubbing and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So you get a very crystal clear sound on it. Yeah, I'm already starting to get blisters on my fingers.
Oh, that's nice.
I got a bottle of whiskey last night to celebrate as well.
You went all rock star.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting just in my boxer shorts. With a fat cigar and three girls in their audience. that didn't happen. But no, I haven't played anything. Nothing new.
I finished Chasm.
Oh,
just
was,
continuing
yeah.
this kind of Metroidvania.
How was Chasm?
Sort of.
Yeah.
So it's procedurally developed to an extent. So, like, the whole idea with a procedurally developed game is there's like a seed, and you get that seed, and that kind of this is all maths sort of thing, really. But in this case, you can actually nominate your seed. So if you want to play, sorry,
no, it's just you can sit there. Oh, I was still reloading the mic. Yeah, it's all good.
If we want to play the same game, the exact same world, the exact same
if you find
thing,
a
then
super
we can,
good layout.
Yeah, then can, I can just go, hey, Ryan, jump in. This seed, boom, and he types it in, that's it, and he plays the same game that I did.
Okay.
Which I think is really, really cool. Outside of that, it's a pretty stock standard sort of Metroidvania game.
It's a very, not flooded market, but there's so much competition.
There's a lot coming out
with Guacamelee and Death's Gambit and Dead Cells.
Hollow Knight.
And that's the ones that are just getting media attention.
Yeah, there's so many more. So it's a hard market to crack into, but Chasm's been in development for fucking ages.
It does seem like, I don't know, I haven't followed Death's Gambit as much. It seems like Chasm might be the one that if you're going to miss one out of this whole batch, it could be that. It's the one that's probably gotten the least buzz.
I think Death's Gambit is supposed to be quite difficult at the same time.
Well, I think Chasm was supposed to be the big buzz, and then the week after with Dead Cells, and then they kind of just instantly stomped him out.
We can thank Philip Mewson for that. So he got all the attention.
Yeah, like all that plagiarism fuss was nothing but good for Dead Cells.
Yeah.
Because so many people watched Boomstick's review, watched the comparison video, and then
watched the whole conversation and got sucked into it.
Saw the conversation, got roped into watching the updated IGN review, which was a very good review. So it's nothing but good for Motion Twin and Dead Cells.
Yeah, in his video, he's like, I'm really sorry to Motion Twin. They're like, it's fine.
Yeah, they're like,
can you do it again?
In their bathtubs of money, they're just like, it's okay.
It's cool.
It's cool, man.
We're starting to work on a sequel.
Do it again for our next game, will you?
I think Chasm. Well, actually, give us your thoughts on Chasm. Like, give us like a bit of a
like I said, just solid. Oh, I spoke about that whole seeding thing, and outside of that, it's a pretty stock standard Metroidvania at that point. It doesn't do anything super crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a good entry point. It is a good entry point. It's got some RPG systems in there, so you are leveling up as you play through. Mm-hmm.
Is it difficult? Like, is it hard?
If I was put on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say maybe a 5. It's not going to break you. Like you can, if you're prepared, do a little bit of time. And I didn't find myself grinding all that much.
It's not hard.
Just as I'm exploring, I'm bouncing around, and as a result, I'm killing things as I go, so I'm getting more XP. Yeah. So kind of part of the exploration allowed me to level up to the point I needed to then.
Not like Hollow Knight levels of difficulty.
No. Yeah, but even then, Hollow Knight didn't cause me massive troubles.
I'm stuck on.
I'd probably say that's a 7 or 8.
Soul
though.
Vessel.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the boss I got stuck on.
Yeah.
And it literally killed my will to want to go back and play the
game. That's a shame.
Because I was stuck on it for like a week. I just went, I just can't play this game anymore.
Yeah, I managed to find a way to finish that amongst Octopath Traveler that came out at the same time. I'm like, all these games for Switch, PlayStation podcast, I know.
It's fine.
But
we can mention.
I mean, we're going to be talking about Hollow Knight shortly, so.
I got into a Reddit fight about the Switch.
Oh, can you elaborate that please. Before you jump in?
Oh, someone just put up a statement from Miyamoto saying, you know, games companies need to be careful about getting too greedy, and I said I agree with his statement, but can you tell me why I'm paying 10% more to 20% more for indies on the Switch? You fucking hater. And then someone's trying to have like a good conversation, you know, it could be to do
they get drowned out,
could be to do with conversion rates at the time, you know, when they put it out. I'm like, yeah, it's a fair point.
Or the, you know, the cost of the cartridge,
yeah, that you got to pay for the cost of the cartridge,
but even the digital version still,
and then someone's like, it costs money to port, so you're paying for that. I'm like, fuck that, that's not an answer. Yeah, it just it got like fucking like two, my comment got like 2,000 upvotes, which is quite a bit for me, and it had like a 300 comment chain going on it. I turned off notifications, like, I'm done. I've got nothing more to add.
I've lit the fire and I just
what was the percentage of people that were actually genuinely conversing with you?
20.
That's quite
with
high
me
for the
directly,
internet.
But then in that comment thread, someone else can have their own. If someone replies to my comment, someone can reply to their comment, and then they have their own little sub-comment in my comment. So to me directly, it's probably about, I don't know, a good 20 or 30 people were actually like, it could be this, could be that, maybe here's an example.
So having a general conversation.
I had
really
a good
cool.
conversation about it, but very I just nice. I ended up, you know, after about an hour, I was like, I don't care anymore.
I said my piece
this.
And
let's jump into that section where we tell you the PlayStation news that happened this week in a section we call Inform the Players.
Number one, which we just added in.
Breaking news.
In a Twitter post from Sony Santa Monica Studio, God of War director Corey Balrog.
Balrog's the awesome beast from Lord of the Rings.
Article,
did you copy and paste that directly?
I copy and paste fucking everything. Announced that there will be an audiobook version of the game story. Even better, the story will be narrated by Mimir, the talking head that accompanies Atreus and Kratos on their journey. You can check out the announcement video on IGN. The video also shows us a quick preview of Mimir's voice actor Alistair Duncan in action, so listeners can get a quick taste of what they can expect to hear. The audiobook will be available on August 28th, so the day after this podcast goes.
Hells to the yeah.
I was expecting, you know, it'll be available later this year, but they're like, no, it's done. You can pre-order it now on like Amazon audiobook thing and all that. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds cool.
I needs it.
So does Jesse in the chat.
it's just weird that we're getting an audiobook of a game. Has that happened before?
Well, there was a novelization that was released, and I saw it at Kmart actually.
We get those because it was actually Corey Balrog's dad that wrote it.
Correct. Yeah.
And it was a real love-in on Twitter when that finally got released. That was pretty cool. But have we seen an audiobook of a game before that?
Like, cause
it's
weird, so I think
it's such an auditory platform anyway.
I don't think there's an audiobook of a novelization of a game. I don't think that flow exists before. I
mean, we've had a game based on a movie based on a game, Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. But like having having Mimir come in and do it is good, because like his entire role in the game is to tell stories.
And you don't realize like your boat trips when he's telling stories, when you do eventually get to the end of the dialogue pool, fucking sucks. Going around in your boat in just dead silence because there's no more conversations to pull from, like everything has been said.
Still, it's cool that they did that rather than kind of go the old gamey sort of thing. Where, all right, let's just start the loop again and we'll just start hearing the same shit. I'd rather silence and go, I've got nothing else to say.
And just listen to the end of the story. Yeah. Like, I got to where I want to be, but I'm just going to like go make a coffee and turn the volume up as they're...
Yeah, it's awesome.
Games just don't do that. It's very hard to evoke that kind of interest.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'll get it, definitely. It's like $15, I think, on Amazon.
Easy, so it's easy done. And New Game Plus is actually live now, last we heard.
Yeah, people are loving it. Absolutely loving it. Number two, if you weren't one of the lucky few able to get your hands on a 500 million limited edition PlayStation 4 Pro, there's a silver lining. The limited edition accessories can still be obtained. Because only 50,000 of these beauties were produced, chances of getting one were always slim. However, Sony is still selling the limited edition DualShock 4 and the gold limited edition headset separately. They're still up for grabs. Naturally, many of these consoles are already appearing online with sales on eBay listing them for nearly $4,000. Fuck them.
I'm going to sell this for 500 million, as we've established. So
I have seen a couple of these in the consoles in the wild. Some of the people that we follow on Instagram have picked one up.
Yeah,
nice.
An example is Dave Brown, who's the one that also recommended the controller stand for the God of War controller back there,
which looks fantastic.
It does look schmick on that stand. Don't tempt me. Do not tempt me.
I'm not going to have this controller by the time I leave, will I?
No. But I mean, what it's can cool. you do about scalpers?
Nothing.
It's not illegal. It's immoral, in my opinion, but it's not illegal. But it does suck that it's such a limited pool, and any percent of them just being flipped on eBay.
Well, so I actually heard a story out of America this morning, because they didn't have the long pre-order. I mean, not that it was a long time, but the amount of time between availability or announcement and then release, they went on sale, I think, this morning or something like that. There was a guy, he had about 8 different devices, I guess phones, iPads, computers, whatever he had. They're all refreshing and he's trying to get himself a console.
Minority Report.
Didn't. And then there's some other guy that pops up on Reddit and goes, I got 8. And he's scalping them all. Outside of, I guess, one that might keep for himself.
I don't know why he wouldn't put a limit of, max 2 per customer or something.
Yeah, but he's probably
like
logged in with different email accounts get your way around it. But
in the same vein, though, I really want one of the grey 20th anniversary controllers. Or the console, even, but I don't have, thousands of dollars to spend on it.
Can you not get the grey...
Not easily.
But then not everyone's scalping it either. Someone might buy it and then see what they're going for, and then it's up to them to decide... Well, I was going to use it, but I can literally quadruple my money that I spent.
Yeah.
And for me, I'll be like, all right, I'll sell it.
It's how a market works.
Yeah, free market is a thing. But
if you could hold on to it, packaged for 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah.
I think a lot of people, were obviously collectors that wanted to jump on there and,
they'll probably end up buying
it
anyway.
They're the good guys.
Yeah.
Because they're the people that would have 4 other PS4 Pros unnecessarily. So like
they were celebrating 500 million. Matt, why didn't they do 500,000 instead of 50,000? Limited is a thing, but that's very very.
Yeah, but like what's even impressive as well, and like it's dick that they only did 15,000. 50,000, sorry. But in the same vein, like they didn't overprice it. It was exactly. They were like, it's the 15,000 and it's literally the price of PS4 Pro. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if they were like, it's 50,000 and it's $100 more.
Well, now people have to buy them for $2,000 more at the same time.
But Sony's got
nothing to do with Sony, of course. Yeah. None of that stuff. But it's unfortunate.
It's a bit poops.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has been delayed to 2019 and the PlayStation Vita version has been cancelled. Announced by Koji Igarashi to Kickstarter backers and via YouTube. He explains that this delay allows the team to further raise quality level, especially after the beta backer demo. Furthermore, Iga also announced that development on the PS Vita version has been stopped and will no longer launch on Sony's handheld. This decision by the team is largely due to Sony's plans to discontinue the Vita console, ending production of physical copies and stopping certain online store support features. Backers who chose Vita as their console of choice can choose a different platform or get a refund. On top of that,
Viking funeral,
it's worth noting, I meant to put this in the quick news last week, but I couldn't find an article to support it, but a developer for Unity said that the next Unity update will no longer support PlayStation Vita as well.
Mm.
So we're really in like...
The Vita no longer lives.
If you don't have Unity support for the Vita...
That's the Viking funeral that just took place.
I don't need this no more.
So that is unfortunate for people that wanted on the Vita, and it does suck that it was delayed again. Because I think it was meant to originally come out in like 2017 or something.
Yeah, it's been
but
delayed
the game
a
looks
times.
Fucking awesome. Like, I'm so keen for it. And you know, I think putting it to 2019 is alright because the end of this year is just fucking stacked.
Yeah,
and like with I believe it's the guy that sort of helped with Castlevania originally. Yeah.
He did Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, so like this will be the better of the Metroidvania.
For
like,
sure,
you'd think, right?
Absolutely.
So I mean,
we did see Mighty No. 9. It was developed by the guy who was responsible for Mega Man.
Cynicism is found here because we are cynical all the time. But
the difference is though he's very active on Kickstarter and communication.
Yeah, his communication's been great.
Always updating and stuff.
Did you guys try a Curse of the Moon? The prequel thing. So that was actually really good.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's more of a. Just a 2D action platform, less Metroidvania aspects to it. It was very linear.
And the big advantage of moving it to 2019, it's getting away from all the Metroidvanias that are out now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's going to give them a bit of leap. So
the delay doesn't faze me too much, but it was more the news that they're like, we're not doing Vita anymore. Yeah. Which kind of, every time it's just like, it's just hammering it down. It's over. And that's unfortunate.
It's gone.
Cyberpunk 2077 has hit a development milestone, with CD Projekt Red explaining that the game is now playable from start to finish internally. In an interview with Engadget, producer Richard Borziemowski explained that the game can be played through from beginning to end with the story in place. It's still missing assets, includes bugs, and requires playtesting, but it's a major step. Quote, it gives you answers to all of our doubts, he said. Borziemowski said. It just feels great. Despite that step forward, Cyberpunk 2077's release date still remains something of a mystery. Even down to what year it will arrive in, CDPR says they are targeting current-gen consoles, which, based on recent reports, puts it at some point before the end of 2020. However, Cyberpunk creator Mike Pondsmith has cautioned that perfection takes time. So playable start to end is pretty fucking cool.
Mm.
After Blood, Sweat & Pixels, which I've nearly finished.
It's good, isn't it?
It doesn't seem common that they'll... get the story and everything in place and then go back and do it. That seems like a different way of doing things. Is that right? Is that
there? No, you're right.
Yeah, because you usually got like quest designers and stuff that are adding things right up till a couple months before release. Yeah. That's why we see a lot of issues,
this zone feels a bit empty, let's chuck a couple more quests in there.
Yeah, and that's why we see a lot of those issues with games going gold and then there's, you know, massive day one patches, because they're actually still adding content as opposed to just visual assets or sound effects or
Dragon
whatever.
Dragon Age Inquisition did. Blood, Sweat & Pixels, Jason Schreier.
it's a really good book.
Playable doesn't mean that it's ship ready.
It means you
as a character can run through that and do whatever. Yeah.
It's a wireframe person.
It could be wireframe. It could be very bland textures.
Gray, no textures.
It could be nothing. Yeah.
But it is a good milestone. And it is cool that they seem to be on track. I still think it'll be a cross-gen release, like The Last of Us and all that was. You know, end of PS4, add on PS5.
Well, where do you see it landing, given they're saying by the end of 2020? My tip's early 2020.
About 2 years from now.
So end of 2020.
I don't think early. Well, it depends when they're going to put out.
Well, even early 2020 is still 18 months from now.
Yeah.
So
18 is 24 months, I think it's fair. The Dark Souls trilogy has been announced for the PS4 and Xbox One. It's been given an October release date, priced at $80. The Dark Souls trilogy is a three-game compilation featuring Dark Souls Remastered, Dark Souls 2 Scholar of the First Sin, and Dark Souls 3 The Fire Fades Edition, packaged in an exclusive steelbook case. The compilation also includes all previously released DLC content. The Dark Souls trilogy will be released on October 19th, 2018. Fuck. It's in like a month and a half.
It's the same day that Dark Souls comes to the Switch.
Yeah, physical copies will be available in limited quantities, so you need to pre-order the collection to ensure physical copy at launch. That's a cool... That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, so like
that is fucking awesome.
Dark Souls 2 and 3 have all already been on PS4 for a while. Now with the remaster, it's cool to have it in a big box set because like Dark Souls fans are rabid.
All
so.
Three games, all the DLC, like that's really cool.
You mush that together in a package,
and I wish.
And it gets them all revved up because then you've got Sekiro that comes out 6 months
later.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you know this won't be published by Activision like Sekiro, but it's still the same developer.
Yeah, it's probably the best time to launch it, actually. Like, well, yeah. Close enough to Sekiro, but far enough away that it doesn't impact.
Yeah, with all the hype that's coming from there.
I wish I liked Dark Souls more. Mm. I mean, I love it. I love the idea of it. And I've said it before, you know, the aesthetic and fucking everything. I love it so much. I don't have the patience or the skill.
Breaks your soul.
Yeah, I just don't have it in me to actually play through the games, which is a shame. I wish there was an easy mode. That's the one thing on Reddit that will get you fucking crucified. Why does Dark Souls have an easier mode? Fucking get good. Fuck you.
Fucking internet.
Top selling games for the week ending of last week. I forgot to get the date. Starting at number 10. Detroit Become Human, number 9, Far Cry 5, number 8, PlayStation Hits, Ratchet & Clank, number 7, GTA 5, number 6, PlayStation Hits, Uncharted 4, number 4, We Happy Few, number 3, God of War, number 2, PlayStation Hits, The Last of Us, number 1, Madden 19.
Madden was also the top of last week, because at the time of recording we didn't have the list, and we speculated God of War was.
Yeah. It is weird to see The Last of Us above God of War.
That's the perk of the PlayStation Hits thing. You're seeing Uncharted 4 and Ratchet & Clank drop in there.
It's
and
been
it's
the same
three
since they announced it. And I think JB Hi-Fi at the moment in Australia is doing two PlayStation Hits for $40 as well.
Damn,
nice.
Like the
that helps.
The physical copies, which is really cool as well.
Detroit's
almost out. Yeah, it's there. It's been slowly getting there. It doesn't
rest
have
in peace.
Much longer in there, I don't think. Either does GTA, I don't think. But once we get into September and October.
Once Red Dead actually comes along and people who like Rockstar's games have a new Rockstar game to go play, you'll see GTA drop off that list.
All right, and the quick bits of news. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice will release on March 22nd, 2019. Ubisoft will not release a new Assassin's Creed game in 2019.
Yes.
Rocket League's major overhaul to progression and leveling launches on the 29th of August, with the new Rocket Pass releasing a week later. And Hollow Knight is coming to the PS4 in 2019.
Yep.
Rocket Pass, fucking oath. I'm keen as. I'm so keen. Because Rocket League is my junk food game.
Yep.
Just when I can't be fucked, I'm going to boot up Rocket League and play some games. And they've had a long time thing of just like leveling means fucking nothing. So with the Rocket Pass, similar to how Fortnite does it, you'll get new car
so
bodies.
So it is like their Battle Pass.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. You get new car bodies, you'll get new skins for your cars, new decorations, you'll get keys you can use to unlock your prize boxes, which is like your loot box kind of thing. Cool. I'm keen as. Sekiro releasing in March is a very busy time.
Jess has confirmed, because I sent her all the PR emails. She goes, the email said aiming for March 22nd, so it's not a confirmed release date. But it's
according to all the websites, they've confirmed
it. I'd say that they're aiming for it. It's you don't put a date out there unless that is the date you're locking in.
Which also, if that's the wording in the press release, that's direct from the peoples. And that's them going, yeah, we may not hit it.
but again, they'll probably want it in the fiscal year.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Probably. Ubisoft not releasing a new Assassin's Creed. Cool.
And so this is the thing. We had a I dropped on your and Jono's thread on Twitter about this.
Yeah, I had an Insider episode go up and then that spun a conversation off.
Lovely. Insider.
Play two.
So like I was baffled that they announced that Odyssey was coming out this year as well, because I thought, you know, it was like they learnt their lesson and they took the break. They come out with Origins was across the board well loved, and they're like, and we've got another one and a lesson. Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? But I don't know whether this is a response to everyone going what the fuck, or it's them just doubling down on the one game for some reason.
So what Eves actually said when he announced it was, and again I did a proper Insider episode on it, so I kind of did all my research. But he was talking about how both games were being developed simultaneously, and they were sharing a lot of assets and all that sort of thing, which meant that the two were always going to come out back-to-back, but then there was going to be a break. So it's not a product of people necessarily, you know, poo-pooing the idea. It's just that we got both games out, and now we need to start this cycle again. Mm. Does it mean they're going to release two games back-to-back? I don't know. Given some of the commentary around it...
Well, that would put the next Assassin's Creed game towards the launch of next-gen consoles.
Yeah, 2020.
And Black Flag was one of the launch...
It straddled both, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
I've still never played an Assassin's Creed game for more than an hour. So
yeah, I didn't put a whole bunch of time into Origins.
Oh, man.
And Hollow Knight is cool. It deserves all the love it gets, even though I got stuck and I'm like, eh.
Yeah, but trophies.
It's still awesome, great, though. Yeah, and still trophies. Though those trophies are going to be arseholes.
One of Shovel Knight's trophies is beat the game without dying.
Yeah. Once. Not for me.
Fuck it, I'll die 8 times in the first 30 minutes. that's it for the news. As we have a chat to the players about Paul's topic, which is...
Oh, we're doing it there. Right. Yep. So it was kind of inspired by what happened at E3. We're going all the way back to E3 here, where Microsoft acquired 5 new studios, brought them into the family. And it kind of got me thinking about, and it's been something I've been stewing on for a little while, is like what franchises or developers could PlayStation look to bring into the fold? Mm-hmm. Because I looked at kind of what's happened this generation. We got off to a very slow start. And I'm not just talking about the quality, but the actual frequency of titles. We got Infamous, we got Killzone, we got... Oh, we probably don't want to talk about the order too much, but we didn't get that many games in that first 3 years, 2013 through 15. Mm. Bloodborne kind of started to kick everything off in 2015, and then in the years since, it's something, a couple big things every quarter. You're probably looking at 4 big name things every. And what I thought there is, if we can get some, we're bloody PlayStation executives, but we're putting those hats on.
Mm.
If we could kind of look at what developers could come into the fold, then that might help bolster their portfolio throughout the entire generation. We don't just have to wait 4 years for another Naughty Dog game or the next Horizon or whatever it happens to be. There's actually a steady trickle at all times.
Now, for reference, with Xbox, they purchased Undead Labs, who do State of Decay, which is already an Xbox exclusive. Then you got Playground, which do
Forza Horizon,
Forza, which is already an Xbox exclusive.
An RPG of some sort.
Then you've got Compulsion,
yep,
who are the guys behind We Happy Few, which, but judging by the success of We Happy Few, questionable decision. Then you've got The Initiative, which is the brand new studio they're working on. What was the fifth one?
Ninja Theory,
that's right. That was a solid purchase.
The best one out of all.
Best one out of all, by far.
I don't know.
Even though
I haven't
played Hellblade.
The Initiative is a quadruple A game, they say.
Yeah, but we ain't going to see shit from them for 4 years.
That's what they're calling it. It's the biggest wank.
So I think the most obvious pick right off the go is Supermassive.
Yep.
I mean, PlayStation have published their last 4 games.
Yeah,
Until Dawn.
The Impatient.
Bravo
Team.
Rush of Blood and Bravo Team.
Yeah.
And they also did Hidden Agenda.
The last 5 games.
Thingo game.
So it makes sense. Now, Supermassive have... announced at Gamescom they're working on some new stuff, which seems to be it will be multiplat.
It is multiplat, yeah.
But I think it was probably a missed opportunity.
Oh, you made a little list.
I was driving today and I managed to use a pen at the same time.
But I think it was a missed opportunity for PlayStation after Until Dawn came out, and they're like, because they obviously know in advance that they're going to be publishing their next whatever.
Mm.
And when they're looking like, well, for the next 4 years, they're basically our studio. Until Dawn went gangbusters out of nowhere. We should probably scoop them up. But you also got to think maybe some developers don't want that either.
Yeah.
Which actually led to the one that I had first on my list. I had Insomniac, which...
Yeah.
It's a weird spot that they're in because, they want to remain independent.
Yeah, I'll just jump in and say Insomniac was the first in my head list as well.
Yeah, they were the first one that came to mind. They want to be independent, though, which is tricky. But they've also got so many IP that they love working on that are attached exclusively to PlayStation. So Ratchet, Spider-Man currently. Resistance is still locked there, even though they've said we're probably not going to get back to it. Yeah. Like, there's all these IP that if they ever wanted to go back to them, they have to play ball with PlayStation. It can only be on PlayStation.
But
and I feel like
Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah. But it didn't
Xbox
sell, so
well.
They probably don't
have
much.
The game was
it should have. It's amazing. But it didn't, unfortunately. So they probably won't go back to it. And I just feel like at some point there's going to be this weight of IP that, like, we want to just keep working on these, whatever they happen to be, for some reason, and they're all attached to PlayStation. We're like, well, maybe we just join the family. Like, it's probably going to save us money.
Fund us.
Yeah. It'll be better for their business going forward. And the PlayStation family, we hear all this commentary all the time that PlayStation just lets the teams go out and do what they need to do their way. So why not have those resources? The funding's important, and it takes a bit of stress off.
It would. That would be a massive stress relief in terms of, you do have that protective net.
Yeah.
And with the name...
You can work with Naughty Dog all the time.
Exactly. They could share... They could get in on the Decima engine that seems to be coming the... it's slowly trickling out amongst the PlayStation studios. Maybe that's going to be the same as EA with Frostbite. Maybe they're trying to do something like that. we know with the success of Spider-Man there, which is, we know it's going to probably do well, they will very likely be at a place where they will become associated with PlayStation, yeah. obviously a big one, and they'll maybe pump into that higher tier that we saw Gorilla Punch into. We know that Naughty Dog sits. Like, maybe they'll make that.
And Sony
that
Santa Monica now after God of War.
Yeah.
Well, I think Spider-Man will be the catalyst for it.
Mm.
I reckon they will in probably the next 12 months.
Okay.
I think Spider-Man will be the catalyst. It'll go gangbusters. So it'll be like Ratchet and Clank did super well. Spider-Man did super well. They're both exclusive on the PlayStation. Just.
Yeah, and in the same vein, if with Sunset Overdrive and Spider-Man, like, I remember the rumor mill, the Sucker Punch were working on the Spider-Man game for a while.
Yeah.
Mm. So with Sucker Punch now going in a different direction, that brings Insomniac be able to come in and maybe take on Infamous, maybe do something like that.
Mm. Please give us more Infamous.
As in, like, bring that skill set over, allow Sucker Punch to go do whatever they want to do, bring these guys in. You know, as you said, it adds to their portfolio of really cool IP they get to work on.
And they are competitive still. They want to one-up Xbox, and Xbox has just gotten 5 studios, so why not? You don't necessarily have to try and get more than that, but get a few big names, high profile, and that people talk again.
When Spider-Man does well, if Sony don't scoop up Insomniac, and then Insomniac, like, now we're working on a game for PlayStation and Xbox, people are like, well, they're the guys that made Spider-Man, and, you know, the game's on Xbox. So it's they're getting all this exposure to the gaming world for the PlayStation game, but then they can be like, oh, we're going to make games for Xbox, which only helps them as well. But it's
it
like
does
PlayStation
help Xbox,
is giving them
PlayStation
the platform.
Boosts, yeah.
Exactly. PlayStation is boosting them up, and Xbox can receive the benefits for it, you know, having that such a big developer name.
And that sort of concept actually led to another one I had on my list. I had FromSoft.
I thought we were going to get down the line. FromSoft was going to be my next one. That worked out well. FromSoft would have been my second pick after Insomniac, simply because they really missed a chance with Demon's Souls. Because after, you know, Demon's Souls being a PS3 exclusive, they really should have jumped on that. Like, I don't think at the time they would have realized what that Soulsborne genre would be or the success it would be. So I understand why they put that aside at the time. But with Dark Souls and then with Bloodborne being exclusive as well, obviously a tail contract off Demon's Souls, you'd think they would want to come in and jump
lock
on
it down.
That. However, with the success of Dark Souls and that genre, I don't see FromSoft wanting to be exclusive anywhere.
Well, I guarantee you that after Sekiro is done and dusted, that Bloodborne 2 will be next from them. I don't see why it wouldn't be. I think they're done with Dark Souls for now. They've got the trilogy all nice and wrapped up. They've got their new IP going, but Sony will want a sequel to Bloodborne.
Oh yeah,
they're probably
they've already
talked about it. It's probably already all hashed out and everything. But that'll be next from them,
from.
Eventually, all of a sudden.
But yeah, just throwing money at them for Bloodborne too, easy.
And that was my big point around FromSoft when it comes to actually being acquired. That it probably won't happen because I don't know, probably worth 5 times more than what they were prior to the success of Dark Souls and Demon's Souls and all them. So it's going to be a bit harder. They'd have to be prepared to fork out a lot more money to make it happen.
Yeah, I agree.
It's also cool how From are so... They've got their genre down. This is what they're good at. But they're so willing to just mix it up and do whatever. Like,
they're doing a VR game.
The gameplay. Yeah,
which is
a VR game as well. But Sekiro has, like, same kind of combat, but it's more stealthy. You've got, like, grappling hooks, so you got cool movement and all that. So they're willing to just kind of keep iterating on their thing, and Sony probably should have picked them up shortly after Bloodborne's success.
Yeah, so they had their chance with Demon's Souls, and they had a second chance, and they fucked it.
Yeah,
they muffed it.
Well, maybe they didn't fuck it. Maybe From were just like,
they could have. Which, maybe, you know, for all we know, there may have been a conversation.
Yeah, they could have been ready to sign the paper and then just gone, actually, no, I don't want it.
PlayStation just needs to send Mark Cerny in there. He wins everyone over. He's just this golden child that...
No, what they need to do is assemble an elite team of top-tier Sony devs, like
you just
Neil
Druckmann
and Corey Barlog, as, like, they're the ones to go and convince people to join the family. You know, you got, like, three or four of the biggest names in PlayStation.
And they walk in
developers.
With a framed picture of Kojima, because he's with them too now.
Come on!
But imagine having, like, all the biggest respected names in Sony's development studios come to you and be like, this is why we think...
And they're pitching you, yeah.
Yeah, they do the pitch. This is why we think. So it wouldn't be so corporate-like if one of the, you know, just executives walked in there and be like, no, 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 like, we're developers as well, and we think this would benefit you because here's all our experiences.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool. Have like a task force, like the Sony task force, the pitch task force.
Abandon your games for 6 months. Yeah. Go around and speak to these people.
Yeah.
You guys aren't releasing anything for the rest of this generation. Fuck off. Go do something cool.
Yeah.
Go earn your contract. What about you, Josh? What's your sec? Well, what else would you put on that list?
I don't.
You don't have another one?
No.
Paul?
I've still got a little list, but yeah, Supermassive
was my big one.
Yeah,
and I totally agree with it.
Yeah, all right, what else you got on that list?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of some of their games, but Don't Nod actually. It's a Life is Strange.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the games themselves. Like, I'm hopeful that Life is Strange 2 is alright because I had watched the first trailer and I didn't hear the word Hella uttered at all, which was nice. Operation PlayStation, which is nice.
Like his custom shirts.
We should have renamed. That should be the name of the show. Fuck for the players. Operation PlayStation.
You've just given me the name of my future PlayStation show.
Trademark Jess Stevenson.
I don't know. Like, it adds something different to the portfolio. We are like. The one bit of negative feedback that gets directed at PlayStation at the moment is all the games coming out are very similar.
I think I said that last week or the week before.
Yeah, we bitched about it last week. Before.
Yeah, and so. Like, it's founded. But Life is Strange is something very different.
Mm.
They had an opportunity to work with him in the past back when Remember Me was coming to PS3.
Oh, yeah.
And they dropped it rightly because the game was pretty mediocre.
That's
in
funny,
the end.
I didn't remember it.
Oh. And like they're now working on multiplat games in Life is Strange and Twin Mirror and a few other bits and pieces. Like, they're growing, they've been successful, and they're not so big yet that they can't potentially pull an Insomniac. So I feel like they're a team that
I think they
could be picked up. They are going from publisher to publisher. Like, Twin Mirror is, I mean, I got the press release that said that came from Namco. Square Enix publishes, what do you call it, Life is Strange, there's Vampire or whatever we call
Speaking of Vampire, they are making a TV show based on
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so, I just feel like they're a studio that's ripe for picking.
Yeah.
By any publisher, whoever that happens to be.
They should get Yacht Club.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that would be a good pick.
Even though Yacht Club are literally rolling in the fucking money now. And Shovel Knight is superior to Super Smash Brothers. I mean, like, that is like the coolest indie success thing going around. So Yacht Club are probably like, I think we're right. Yeah. But I'd love to see just a smaller developer. None of this big, you know, AA, AAA stuff. Just find a really good indie developer that does really good fucking platformers or something.
So my,
scoop them up.
Mine goes the other way. So my second isn't actually a dev. It's more of IPs. So what they need to do is they need to go to Konami and say,
oh, here we go.
Give me Castlevania. Give me Silent Hill, and depending on the dollar he does, give us Metal Gear.
They won't, because all their pachinko machines and all that.
They never will. Like, they never will. Or a shared license, as in, like, we'll make the pachinkos and whatever, but you make the games. Like, share the license in the same way that, you know, Marvel has Spider-Man the character, Sony has the game and movie rights to Spider-Man. Mm. In the same vein, so I know this is something that will never fucking happen, but like, Metal Gear is associated with PlayStation. For many, many people. So, like, it would be a smart thing to come across. Now, I'm not saying then Kojima has to work on it.
Wouldn't.
He wouldn't want to.
He'd probably vomit.
He probably would have nothing to do
with it. I wouldn't rule out the possibility he'd walk out.
Yeah.
Or they'd speak to him and, like, how do you feel about this? And he goes, it's me or the IP.
He's like, it depends. I think the bad blood is more with Konami rather than the product.
But it probably brings up.
Yeah, I'm sure it brings up some stuff. But if they were to buy it and give it to somebody else.
If they were to buy Metal Gear IP and say, Kojima, this is your baby, we're going to let you do whatever
Who do you want it to go with?
That, or you can have it and you can do whatever you want. Because Konami were apparently really constricting. It's like, no, this is our game now and you'll make it to our specifications. Whereas Sony could be like, Death Stranding's out. Do you want Metal Gear back? And if you do, you've got free creative license. Yeah. Just do whatever.
Yeah. And for that reason, like with Konami, they've just stopped caring about games. Like there are things that are lost. Mm. Like Castlevania, you'll never see again. Silent Hill, you'll never see again. And I want more Silent Hill, goddammit.
They just need to put Symphony of the Night just emulate it on the PlayStation. Yeah. And I'd buy it that quick because I've never played it. Mm. And it's such a revered game that I want to, but I'm not going to.
It's hard to access.
You know, yeah,
you have to bring out your PS3.
It's not readily available.
Is it PS3? It's a PS1 classic, I think.
PS1 classic, PS3.
But still, you have to wheel out a console.
Yeah.
Um,
But yeah, I rather than a developer, like, bring the guys that they have them come do some cool stuff.
Works for me.
I'm trying to think of one more IP I'd like them to have.
Oh, yeah.
Keep talking.
So you mentioned indie studios or smaller studios, and I had one on my list, and we spoke about one of their games before, Drinkbox.
So yeah, Guacamelee. Yeah.
The original Guacamelee, I mean, they had Super Mutants, and that was a PlayStation exclusive back when in its day. Guacamelee was a temporary exclusive, I think, until they put the Super Turbo Championship Edition out. And that was on Vita and PS3, and then, yeah, eventually the rest. And then Severed was exclusive until it went, like, mobile. I don't think it made it to anything. Oh, did it go? No, it's maybe it came to the Wii U or something?
Yeah, it's on Switch now.
Is Severed on the Switch?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Is it?
But certainly it was exclusive when it first launched anyway. And so they've clearly got a bit of love for PlayStation. Come on over. Bring it. And again, it's a nice contrast to this high-end, big-budget AAA stuff that we see.
And like it is tonally different in terms of like of its gameplay. Like it's a piss take. It's not that third-person action adventure. It's lighthearted. It's fun. It's
colorful.
It's baffling that it isn't already there. It's a good pick. Yeah. Good, real good pick.
That's all I got.
I have one more.
Go on.
Blue Point.
What are they?
Shadow of the Colossus remake.
You know,
and other ports.
Like they've done a lot of the ports of.
But why would they buy a studio just to do ports when their studio does ports?
Nostalgia makes dollars.
Yeah, but they're already doing it for.
But these guys clear. But these guys have a clear skill.
Yeah.
And for that reason,
they are apparently starting to develop an idea for their own IP.
That could be the thing as well. Like these guys
could suck dick.
It could very well. Yeah, they could very good at picking up other people's ideas and yeah.
But like having them come in and you know work like right now they have worked relatively exclusively. You know, like Shadow of the Colossus is a big PS2 exclusive. Apparently, what they're working on now is another big PlayStation product. Whether that be, I think the rumor mill is either Demon Souls or Metal Gear. I think it's very likely to be Demon Souls. Just
more so than Metal Gear. More than
Metal Gear. Although ideally, I'd like Metal Gear. I think having them come in, even if they just happen to be a nostalgia train, because nostalgia train makes money, and they come in and they bring back old PlayStation games that people love. It's an interesting move to have a studio that just works on remasters as part of your portfolio, but remasters make money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why.
Awesome.
Anyone on your little list?
Oh, I had some little things, but...
What else on your list? Just run through them. Without...
I mean, I had one stupid one that you'd love, but it's definitely not going to happen because they've bloody published their own games. CD Projekt I had on there. That's just a big Hail Mary.
CD Projekt as a company are now worth more than Square Enix.
Yeah, they refuse to believe
it. A little bit.
Oh, it's because with GOG as well.
GOG's the big thing there.
Yeah, because CD Projekt Red is the game developer. CD Projekt is the... company as a whole, which of course owns GOG, which is doing great things apparently, but CD Projekt as a company are worth more than Square Enix at the moment.
Square Enix is worth a fair bit,
and that's
so.
Fucking insane.
That is insane.
I had one more, which was Avalanche, so as in the guys who do Just Cause and currently Mad Max and Rage 2, because they're bouncing around between publishers there. They're clearly not locked down to someone, and they've got
Avalanche
demonstrated
last year.
Oh, did they actually get picked up by Bethesda?
No, by a TV studio.
Oh, really? All right, that's a... I must have missed that one.
By someone. Nordisk Films buys Avalanche Studios.
Well, we can scratch that one.
Earlier this year, actually, only a few months ago.
Yeah. Just the
look
the
at you with that memory, Josh.
I heard it on a podcast I was listening to on the way here.
Oh, nice.
Because they were discussing the same thing. Why haven't Bethesda... Bethesda going to buy Avalanche, and then Colin, also Sacred Symbols, brought up that they were bought by Nordisk Films.
You could have said nothing. I would have given you all that credit.
I'm an honest man.
But what do you think the PlayStation should pick up in terms of their studios or IP even? Drop your comments below. Let us know.
They'll pick up Nintendo. And
don't be dumb,
Mario.
Like, they should buy Donkey Kong. No,
they should
probably buy Donkey Kong.
I'd fucking love that shit.
Take Smash Bros.
They'll trade PlayStation All Stars for your Smash Bros.
PlayStation All Stars. I would like to see them take another take. Because you got to think, PlayStation All Stars was up against obviously Smash Brothers, but Smash Brothers at that point was like 3 games in.
Yeah,
plenty of time to work and figure it out. Because you go back and play the original Smash Brothers 64, and it's pretty fucking shit.
Yeah. It's poops.
PlayStation All Stars was a good
starting point.
Good entry point. Let's try to figure it out what works, what doesn't. I reckon if they went back to it now.
And
if
sure, we just have some new IP since then we can milk from. And
yeah, and if you keep that name Battle Bloodborne Royale Hunter. In there.
The Bloodborne guy.
Oh, yeah.
And Aloy.
Yeah. And yeah, if you keep
Battle Royale on the end there. Battle Royale 2.
People get really confused, but though, it'll sell well.
Get new Kratos back in there.
Yeah.
Get Atreus. Atreus, yeah. That's a character. Got plenty of new stuff to bring in.
We'll just bring Geralt in.
Yeah, why not? He's in Soul Calibur. Yeah.
Speaking of new stuff,
of Soul Calibur, actually.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Damn. Good. Double segues.
One of the original characters from, like, the second game onwards isn't available in the new one. It's...
DLC?
DLC.
God damn it. God damn it, dude.
Fucking stupid. Anyway.
But speaking of new games, though, in a section we call For the... For, what is it called?
Coming to the players.
Thanks, Paul.
We pretty much straight up just read you the
drop. Get out of here. I got this.
Pretty big list this week. Tactical squad-based shooter Firewall Zero Hour deploys on the PSVR. It's basically Rainbow Six Siege in VR.
I have reached out. Hopefully, yeah. Coach will come in the next couple of days.
In Firewall Zero Hour, play as one of 12 contractors and work with teammates to either protect or obtain valuable data housed on a laptop located in various dangerous locations around the globe. So let me get my thing. Developed by First Contact Entertainment, Firewall Zero Hour is a 4v4-based tactical shooter developed exclusively PSVR and compatible with PSVR, AIM controller, and DualShock.
I'm pretty keen to get the VR out of the box.
Sounds like
again.
A cool idea.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Especially with the aim control.
Yeah, I'm totally in. It's like a big old match of laser tag.
Yeah. With actual death.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to skip through.
You die in your headset.
And hopefully me not hitting my wife with the aim controller again. Fingers crossed.
Favourite story.
Fucking awesome. Better your wife than your kid, though.
Thankfully, you're still small enough that you just swing straight
over
his
head. Yeah, just straight over his head.
All right, there's a lot, so I'm just going to power through it. Bad North PS4 Digital. Stop me when you want to talk, if you want to talk about something. Blade Strangers PS4 Digital. Bout of Blood PSVR Digital. Catch and Release PSVR Digital.
Games.
Claybook PS4 Digital. Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition PS4 Digital and Retail. Donut County.
Oh, yeah, read that one. Number that was.
Donut County is a story-based... physics puzzle game where you play as an ever-growing hole in the ground, meet your characters, steal their trash, and throw them in a hole. I'm watching the video. PSX thing.
It looks
dope. Like you start off as a little hole, and you got to find something small to fall in there, so it grows bigger. Then you kind of that does sound cool. Actually,
it's a weird sort of concept, but
I mean,
Downward Spiral, Horus Station, PSVR Digital. Could have picked a better name for that. Ferns Gate, PS4, PS Vita Digital, cross by Fire Pro Wrestling World.
Buddy Watson pissing his pants on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
The greatest grappling game returns to take on the world on the PS4. In Fire Pro Wrestling World, customize every aspect of the match, from your wrestler to the ring itself, fight your way through to the championship belt.
Now, what you can actually do is, we could create us, and then we can make we can import the Popsy logo and stuff through the website, make it all decked out in Popsy branding, and literally have a Popsy bout.
And this is where the real concern comes in. Just like a particular game that you and I were both keen on last week, the drop there, it's not coming to Australia for about another month.
That is also true, yeah. So last week, Fire Dragons Cafe still hasn't dropped in Australia.
And same with our Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it looks as if Dragons
Cafe is
probably
September. Sorry, buddy, keep
waiting, mate. I think Buddy's aware because I did see him have the cry on Twitter.
Firewall Zero Hour PSVR Digital Retail. Gate of Doom PS4 Digital.
That's a shocking like concept art or whatever.
Yeah. The Golf Club 2019 featuring PGA Tour.
Ooh,
PS4 nice. Digital. Haunted Dungeons, Hiyaki Castle, PS4 Digital. My laptop is not cooperating. There we go. Naruto to Boruto, Shinobi Striker.
Sounds like a fake.
PS4 Digital and Retail. NBA 2K19, The Prelude, PS4 Digital.
What's The Prelude?
Go back up.
NBA 2K...
No, don't read it. Just go scroll up again. Keep going. Oh, sorry. I thought it was VR, because I know that there was a Prelude VR last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pato Box, PS4 Digital.
Pet Your Box.
Shikhondo Soul Eater PS4 Digital, Splash Blast Panic PS4 Digital, Strange Brigade PS4 Digital and Retail, Sunless Sea Submarina Edition PS4 Digital, Switchblade PS4 Digital. Fuck me dead. Think of the Children.
Fuck
somebody
yes.
Please
we
think of the Children.
We played at RTX and it's awesome fun.
Oh really?
This would be a good stream.
Little Bobby's dead. The barbecue is on fire. Jen's eating poisonous berries and the birthday cake still needs icing. It's just another wonderful day out with the kids. Think of the Children as a frantic parenting simulator for up to 4 players. So basically all these little kids are trying to find different ways to fucking kill themselves and you have to stop them. And it's very fast paced.
That's
a concept I can get around.
Like you run, you get grandpa out of the sun, and then you run and get the kid out of the ocean. And
one kid's like in the barbecue burning.
Yeah.
As a soon to be father, this has me traumatized a little bit.
I forgot about this game, actually.
The game was fantastic.
That's cool. I like that. Torn PSVR Digital. Viking Days, PSVR, digital. Yakuza Kiwami 2, PS4, digital and retail.
We've got a review for that on the site. Go check it out.
Ooh,
sorry,
Play 2.
Yeah. Think of the Children. It's probably...
Yeah, and Firewall, probably the ones.
Yeah, Think of the Children and Firewall, I think. Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Anything to add before I close this bad boy off?
Yeah, let Paul pimp his wares.
Go.
Oh, player2.net.au, reviews, previews. There's a review for Yakuza Kiwami. There is one going up for Divinity soon-ish. I don't know if I can say that. That's sometime in the future. Someone will be doing it. I have a whole bunch of shows on the YouTubes. The Insider, Patched.
And your newly created...
Gamer School, that is my new baby, where I've gone through the entire Secret of Mana franchise and basically given you a, we'll call it edutainment. Is that, I guess, technically what that sort of thing gets done?
And soon to be the new PlayStation podcast, Operation.
Yeah, Operation PlayStation, yes. Thank you, Jesse. So, yeah, there's some good stuff there. And we've also got the Player 2 Charity Marathon coming up in the middle of September, the 15th to the 16th. It's in Canberra. We're raising, I think, close to $3,500. So yep. I think we reached that. Well, that was well beyond what we expected last year, so we figured let's try and match it.
Very nice.
I'm not travelling up there this year because it's far too close to baby time for comfort. But
we will be hosting that on the Twitches as well, so you'll be able to see that there.
But that's about it, really.
Excellent.
Well, now Jesse has to be a part of PlayStation, Operation PlayStation.
Should have copyrighted it.
Well, I did say copyright Jess Stevenson earlier, so I think that's verbal copyright.
And it is documented, yeah.
That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook. Join us on Discord. Comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there. Check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you. I also apologize because if you haven't noticed, I'm quite unwell today again.
And if you were a Patreon supporter, you could have watched us record this live on a Saturday morning. And of course, some other goodies there as well. If you want to show the love of the pop culturist on your body, head over to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts like this and bust those titties out.
Oh, shit. Yeah. But I'm unwell.
Bust them, yeah. We can buy shirts and phone cases and bags and books and a bunch of cool things with our logos smacked on them. And of course, we're also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Like any fucking content creator, everyone is either on YouTube and or Twitch, mostly end. But until then, until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Paul James.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players. Woo!